episode 114. I'm Marissa.
And I'm Anna.
And here we are. We're back for another week.
With the yappy hour.
With a yappy hour. We barely got by this week.
We almost canceled. We were real close to canceling.
I don't know about you, but I had a really hectic week last week.
Did you?
It was just work was like, usually my job is pretty calm. But it was insane all the time. And like, hopefully my boss isn't listening, but I get a lot of research done at work. Mm-hmm. So like, it was just crazy. And then this weekend was kind of crazy. So I had research that I want, and I had a topic that I really like, but I didn't feel I gave it justice. So I was like, maybe we can do a yappy hour, yeah, and then I can do this topic next week.
Well, you had a hectic week last week, and this week I have a crazy hectic week with work. And
why?
Oh my God, I do this to myself because I schedule my own appointments. Like,
yeah.
So, but sometimes like, my appointments are involving like a team of people, so you just kind of like have to coordinate when everyone's available. Yeah. And so like tomorrow's Tuesday, I have literally meetings I have back to back, like 8, 9, 10, 11, 1, 2, like I have like 6 appointments tomorrow within like my 8-hour shift. It's like,
oh my
just
God,
back to back. And then I have to go, I don't have to, but like I scheduled to go out to dinner with friends right afterwards.
Aww.
So
I have to go to dinner with friends.
So, but that like literally the whole week is just like back to back appointments. And it's it's just one of those weeks.
That's how last week was. At work and after work, there was always something to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But you know what, I was thinking about today, okay, and I took a half day today because I had a doctor's appointment, so yeah. I went to work in the morning, and then I had, my appointment was at like 1 or something, so I just took the rest of the afternoon off, and I went to my doctor's appointment, and then I like stopped at a store, and I went to the gym, and I came home and put laundry, and I was like, you know what, this like full-time working thing is just not my cup of tea.
It's bullshit.
I'd be so much happier working part-time.
I know. I have off on Thursday, and that's the only thing getting me through the next 3 days.
Literally, what gets me through the weeks is, like, looking to see what, like, half days I have or, like, what holidays fall on those weeks. Like, so I already have every other Friday off, which is, like, a blessing. But even, like, so on top of that, I'm like, okay, if I have to go to work this week 5 days a week, like, do I have to schedule a doctor's appointment? Can I go on a house showing? Like, what can I do to eliminate, like, half a day during this
week?
Yeah,
if I can just take one half of a day, it'll be better.
It's, like, so bad.
It's really bad, but, like, whatever.
Even, like, now, like, still, like, I'm working from home 2 days a week, and even I'm like, you know what? I still need to get out of, like, a full work.
I can't do it. Yeah, working full-time in office, let me tell you.
Oh, girl.
It's something real special.
I hear you.
And people, the public, has been unbearable.
I'm sure. So I work for like a government agency, and I'm in a Facebook group for government.
Fucking FBI.
You know. And someone that's in the group, it's like for our union, they work, I don't want to say where they work, but I mean, it's in the news, but they work, okay, so it's in the news, so it's that they work in the county assistance office in Philadelphia, so they, like, help people with, like, medical assistance, food stamps, stuff like that. Someone, yep, and they're open to the public, and I don't believe you have to have an appointment, I think you just, like, show up if you have an issue, and especially during the pandemic, like, they're having irate people coming in, because, like, their benefits were cut, unemployment, all of that stuff. So last week, someone came in, and they shot a security guard there.
Oh, no.
And he fucking died. Yeah, I mean, the security guard wasn't, like, part of, like an employee, but it was in their building. Like, someone got shot doing their fucking job because someone was pissed off because their food stamps weren't, like, reloaded. I don't know, something like that. It's just, like, insanity.
Someone who had no control over anything.
Yeah, and that's what it is. It's, like, I understand, like, going back to my DMV situation, like, the person that I talked to, like, they have no control. Like, they didn't make that decision. They're just answering my phone call. So, like,
yeah,
I'm not trying to be irate with them because it's not their fault, but, like, people just, like, don't get it.
I am going through quite a debacle with customer service myself. And, like, mm-hmm. you remember how that one time I got mad at the DoorDash driver?
When I was there?
Yeah. The only we were just talking about this with Cliff's parents. He was like, yeah, Marissa only got mad at someone in customer service one time. And Andy cried. Like, everyone in this house is sensitive. And so I ordered this thing from this. So Cliff's been looking for this record
mm-hmm.
for the longest time. And it's a record that was like, it's an, I think they're American, the band's American, but they released a special edition only in Japan, only in 2017. Mm-hmm. And the special edition is, like, nowhere to be found. Mm-hmm. And he only wants it on vinyl, which is even harder
sure.
to get a hold of. So I found this Japanese website, and I found what I thought what was the special edition. So I ordered it right away, of course, and paid, like, a shit ton of money in shipping.
Mm-hmm.
And then realized that it was a CD
oh.
and not the vinyl. So I emailed them back, and I was like, I need to cancel my order, like, please refund, blah, blah, blah. And they canceled it, but I haven't gotten a refund yet, and it's been over a week. So I've been emailing back and forth with people, these people in Japan,
yeah.
trying to get my money back. It was, like, $40.
Did you pay on PayPal?
Yeah.
It does take a Thank while God. For PayPal to come through, though.
Oh, really? Like, a week?
Yeah.
Oh.
Like, it can be, like, more than a week, because that happened to me at the start of the pandemic.
Oh, no.
Right before the mask mandate went into effect, I went and ordered masks, like fabric masks, but this on Etsy or something. And the seller was in China. And when I placed the order, I realized it was going to take, like, 8 weeks to ship. And yeah. I was like, oh, like, I need them ASAP. Like, can you please cancel and refund? And she did. Like, she canceled immediately. And then but it did take, like, almost 2 weeks for the refund to come through on PayPal.
Okay, well, now I feel like a jerk.
No, but, like, you don't know until you know. So I would just keep checking your PayPal.
Okay, good. But I wasn't mean. I was just like, hey, like, it's been over a week. Can you please give me my refund? Like, I spent $40 on a CD. It's 2021. I don't want to do this.
It's no longer needed.
I don't need this.
But it just reminded me when I did cancel my mask order from China. China obviously at the beginning had it a lot worse than we did.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, no problem, stay safe. I was like, oh, that was so nice.
I love her.
And I said, I'm sorry, I needed them, like, sooner. I didn't realize it was going to take so long to ship. She's like, oh, that's okay, stay safe out there. I'm like, oh, honey.
Honey. <You too." laughs> I hope she's doing great.
Same. I hope her Etsy shop is... I shouted out, but I totally forget.
I mean, it's been, like, a year... and change.
A year plus, yeah.
Yeah.
So, other than being busy, how are you?
I'm good. I'm...
Same old?
Yeah, same old. I just have been busy. Nothing really has been happening that good. I can think of. I had a super tame weekend this weekend, so...
Well, that's good.
I needed
that's
it.
That's good. I hear you.
What about
you? Do
you
have a brink of... Oh. Same. No, I'm always, like, boring. I have, like, nothing going on. My update is in my brink of tears. Like,
oh, okay, so okay. Okay.
That'll be it, though.
Perfect.
All for me. Do you have a brink of tears?
I'm trying to think. So tell me why do you cry? Tell me why. I do.
Oh, look at you.
I don't think so.
Proud of you.
Thank you. Yeah, I don't think I have one this week.
That's good.
Maybe I'm pent up emotions. All right, so tell us yours.
If nothing else, it was like a TikTok that made you cry at some point.
That puppy video I showed you today, it made me tear up.
Aww.
He was cute.
I'll cut this out, but, like, are you on Couch Guy TikTok?
Yes, I was going to talk about that tonight.
Oh, mean, they won't cut it out then.
Yeah, don't cut it out. Don't cut it out. Because it's like...
I feel like it's like a conspiracy slash crime, like, waiting to happen.
People have been, like, slowing down the clips of it, like... Like,
oh my god!
And
yeah.
on his wrist is a hair tie, and that girl has a hair tie that looks just like. Oh my god! I guess.
But what's so funny is I saw the original. Me too. Like it just showed up on my FYP, like without like when it first happened, and I was like, "That's fucking weird." And yeah. then all of a sudden, it was all it like was the conspiracy, the FBI like tracking them down.
So if you don't know what we're talking about. There was this I don't know how you don't get out from under the rock that you were under. There's this TikTok of this girl. I don't know. They had to be like, what, like
18, 19.
The girl was like going to surprise my boyfriend at college. And she walks in and she's super excited and he's sitting on the couch. And there's,
with
like,
three girls
sitting next to him. And he just, like, awkwardly smiles and he doesn't get off the couch at all. And he hands the other girl the phone and then gives her, she, like, hugs him on the, oh, it's so awkward.
And, like, and then there's, like, two of his guy friends also in the room, two or three of his guy friends also in the room just watching it.
Yeah.
And, like, he doesn't, like, they, no one's excited to see this girl.
No.
And this girl was, like, fighting for her life in like the comments. She's like, you don't understand our relationship, like those girls aren't my friends. I was like, honey,
those
no one was excited to see you.
It was so awkward. And they took it down. She took it down, didn't she?
Last I checked yesterday, it was still up.
Oh really?
Yeah, she still has it, like with comments on, like,
oh,
she's just
my God.
And now, like, the girls that were in the TikTok, they're making TikToks about it, like, giving, like, their side. And the one girl, I forget, I don't know which one, like, doesn't matter, they're, like, no ones, no offense. But the one
no
said
ones.
Something, someone asked something in the comments, and she responded, like, I'll give you the deets, and put her Venmo name on there. I was like, girl, are you asking for money?
Good for her, though, honestly, like... If you're gonna be a bitch all the way. Oh, it hurt me though, like, and I didn't think that it made me feel super old and like you wanted to be like,
oh
no.
My god, yeah.
Like no,
you just
want to
be like,
okay.
Honey,
don't do it. It doesn't like you that much.
Honey, please. Then she posted like another TikTok with like her. She was with her parents or something like. What do you guys think about Rob? Like, we love Robbie. And someone comes like, I remember when I tricked my family into liking my ex, too. I'm like, oh, girl.
Oh,
I hope
man.
She opens her eyes.
That, oh, she's going to. And, like, a couple years, she'll be like, what a fucking idiot. Like, but yeah, people are going
man.
Really into this. Like, getting really into this.
Well, not even just, like, the, like, research or, like, the FBI slow-mo videos,
yeah.
but even just, like, the parodies mm-hmm. of it, like, insane. Like, it's literally, my TikTok went from Gabby Petito TikTok to Couch Guy slander TikTok.
I was thinking about making one with Andy, because, like, when I come home
should.
For lunch, he always is laying on the couch, and he's never excited to see me, and I'm like, and he's just blinking at me like it's crazy.
Oh god, that was good.
Yeah, I'm like, you know what, I'm gonna keep I was like, I'm gonna use this, we're gonna talk about this on our Yappy Hour, because it's in conspiracy TikTok already.
It doesn't take much to get onto conspiracy
no.
TikTok.
So Facebook and Instagram shut down today.
You know what? It was a well-deserved break.
It was a respite.
Because I went on Facebook to check the hours of a restaurant that I was going to go to yesterday. And I was like, why the fuck isn't this loading? And then I saw that everything was down. I was like, you know what? Good. Like
good riddance.
We don't need it. I don't need the Facebook. I don't need the TikTok. Or I need the TikTok. I don't need the
yeah.
Instagram.
Well, I already went on TikTok and there was some a TikTok psychic that was like, I told you guys months ago that this was going to happen.
Well, it's back up and running.
Yeah.
Like, it's not. It's like a server error. Relax.
I predicted this a long time ago.
It is Mercury retrograde, though.
True,
so.
True.
It affects everyone, including Mark Zuckerberg. Yeah.
It was a little weird how many times I automatically, like, clicked on it.
I know. I felt, like, so gross because I feel like I need to disconnect more, but...
Me too.
Whatever.
Well...
Oh, I didn't share my Brinketeers.
Oh, my God. I forgot. Wait, before we do it, can I do it? Should we do an ad?
Yeah, do it. Maybe I'll put in the Brink of Tears song twice for Mary G.
Oh my God, for Mary. She loved it. She texted me. She's like, you guys made my day. And honestly, if I can make Mary G's day, if you met her, you would want to make her day too. She's the nicest person ever.
We follow each other on Instagram, and every time she posts something, I'm like, she just seems like the happiest person in the world.
I know. I don't know why I'm not drinking with her all the time. That's like something I think about. I'm like, she looks like she's having a great time. Okay, so our podcast sponsor is, one of our podcast sponsors is Hair by Escandalo and The Other Side. And Hair by Escandalo is a salon on the south side of Bethlehem that caters to laid back and fun people who want to have the best hair in town. And right next door to Hair by Escandalo is The Other Side. The Other Side has a full service spa, and it is also a boutique. The spa is run by Cassie. She's an esthetician. She has over 6 years' experience. She loves doing facials, microblading, dermaplaning, lash and brow tinting. And she also offers full body waxing, but doesn't gender any of her services. So everyone is welcome. You can make an appointment with them on Instagram. If you click the link in their bio, at Escandalo Hair, or visit their website, escandalohair.com. You can also go to The Other Side's Instagram, which is escandalo.theotherside. And if you're a new client and you want to chat first, you can schedule a COVID-safe virtual consultation.
So tell me why do you cry? Tell me why do you cry? What pushed you to the brink? In your car or by the kitchen sink?
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, so another life update is that we're, you know, it's doing the house search project. And I know, like, you and Cliff are just, like, in the beginning stages of, like, looking into all of that.
Yes.
So my recommendation is just to, like, go see any house that you can that you think may be even anywhere on your radar of wanting to purchase, because, man, is it fucking enlightening. And so we went on, when did we go? Saturday? Yeah, I think Saturday. We went to 3 or 4 showings, and I started off, I told a realtor, like, let's look at these houses that are, like, on the cheaper end of, like, my range, just so, like, I can see, and then, like, we can move up from there. So we went to go see a couple, and they were literal, like, duds, like, total garbage, and which was so annoying, because the one I knew needed some, like, work, but then when you actually went to go see it, I was like, it smelled like human piss as soon as you walked in, and it was, like, worse than I even saw in the pictures. Like, it needed so much fucking work. It was so bad. So that was, like... whatever. And then there was another one who, in the pictures, when they were taken when there were still people living inside, so it was, like, furnished, and, you know, they made it cute, but it was a duplex that was converted into a single family home, and I was like, oh, like, that'll be cool, because, like, more, like, room, and, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But it was also garbage, like, where they have, like, the kitchen, and then on the other side where the kitchen used to be, there's just, like holes in the floor, like, where, like, there was, like, a gas line or, like, whatever. And then there's two sets of stairs because it used to be a duplex, but you can't access the other side. Like, so one side has one bedroom, and then you have to go downstairs and go up to the other side to get to the other bedrooms. Like, whatever. Like, not cool. But then there was a house that went on the market the day before we went to go see it, and she got me in to go see it, and I was like, oh, perfect, like, the pictures looked great, and I loved it because it was an older home, and I liked, like, the wood, like, finishings on it, like, original hardwood, like, it had character. I was like, cool, like, it looked beautiful. The bathroom looked great. It had, like, a, what's it called? A clawfoot tub. It had a walk-in shower with, like, four different, like...
Jesus, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, great. So, and the kitchen, it wasn't remodeled, but it was, like, updated kitchen.
Yeah.
And had a half-finished basement where I could, like, put Eric down there. It was great. So, we went to go see it, and then, literally, the one issue was the... It had a half bathroom downstairs, and a full bathroom was upstairs. Excuse me. But the only way to access the full bathroom was through the master bedroom. No, I
hate that in-house.
Yeah. And I was like, fuck. And which is, like, fine for now because it's just me and Eric. But, like, if we have kids or, like, if we have, like, a friend sleep over, like, they have to go through our bedroom to go to use the shower.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's just, like, that's fucking annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah. And my uncle was there, who's a contractor, so I was like, is there any way to, like, make this accessible from the hallway?
Yeah.
So, and, it, like, you could, but, like, it would be cutting, it would, you'd have to get rid of the walk-in shower.
Ugh.
And it would cut the bathroom, like, quite, like, pretty much in half.
Damn.
And I'm like, man, that's, like, fucking, and I'm like, I know these are old houses, but, like, who fucking that designed that?
That doesn't even make sense in an old house. Yeah. That's stupid.
And I was just like, man, that fucking sucks. And the yard was, like, great. And I had a brand new, like, water heater and all that shit. And I, like, really debated. Because if that wasn't the issue, I would... If that wasn't there, I would have just put an offer in, like, that day.
Yeah.
But my friends who have bought houses, they're like, listen, if there's, like, something that, like, really irks you about the house and you think you can get over it, don't do it.
Don't.
Because, like, there's a reason it's, like, irking you and you don't put that much money into something that you're going to be pissed off about for the next however many years.
I was going to say, it's not even... You're putting so much money in there, you should be completely happy with it. Or at least happy enough annoyed. That you can fix it.
Right, right, right. And then the realtor asked me, she's like... Well, is this going to be, like, your forever home, or is this going to be, like, a for-now home? Like, are you going to plan on moving in, like, 5 to 7 years? And I was like, oh, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
And I, like, thought about it for a little bit. I was like, well, you know, I think we have to go under the assumption that it's our forever home, because I don't know what's going to happen in, like, 5 or 7 years. I don't know if we're going to be in the financial position or want to up and move into a new house. So I was like, fuck, like, god damn it. So, all the houses I wanted to go see were, like, garbage. There was one I wanted to go see, and we couldn't go see it because the residents had COVID, so they were quarantining. And then I emailed her today. I was like, well, can we go see it once they're done with quarantine? And she went to go book it, was rejected, and then the house went under contract.
I'm Are you kidding me?
Like, fuck. And then there's another house that I just saw. It was on the market for about a week, and I emailed her to see if we can go see it. And she scheduled me to go see it on Friday.
Yeah.
But I went to go check, and the website she sent me, it says status updated. And I was like, does that mean it's pending? Like, it doesn't say pending.
Just
I was
updated.
Like, what does it mean status updated? But they scheduled me to go see it, so I'm hoping they accept an offer until I go see it. It has an in-ground pool. And it's, like, right at the top of what I'd be wanting to pay for a house.
Yeah.
So I'm like, baby, like, this is, I'm praying to the God I don't believe in that I can go see it and then I can put an offer in and they accept it. But we'll see. But, it's like, fucking rough. Because the market has slowed down right now.
Yeah.
But the inventory is still super low. It's like, there's not a whole lot of pickings unless you're buying, like, a fucking trash bin or $1 million mansion, and
well,
I
yeah,
either.
Yeah, because people are moving so fast right now. I've, like, seen that at my work, like, where people are coming in and they're like, I just sold my house. I didn't want to, not like they didn't want to, but they're like, we weren't planning on selling it, but
right.
It's like, market's good, so here you go.
Oh, man, it's, like, so annoying.
You'll find it.
So, everyone that's listening, please send good vibes that a house will come my way that is reasonable and affordable. And God, it just, like,
it'll happen.
Ugh, so annoying. If I get this house with the in-ground pool, I'm having a party every single day in the summer.
Pool party at Anna's
house. I told Eric, I said, when we go look at these houses, like, one of the first things I think about is where we'll put the litter boxes. And he's like, that doesn't even cross my mind. I was like, I know.
Wow.
Like, that's why I think about it.
I just put a dog diaper bag on, like, not a diaper bag, but, like, a dog overnight bag on our wedding registry.
Oh.
Cute as fuck. Like, we always think about our little guys.
That's so cute. You got to. They're part of the fam.
Oh, guys and girls.
All right. Well.
I guess we should get into it.
Okay.
So, the first thing I thought we could talk about was... the Brian Laundrie thing. I know that we aren't big into this, but we gotta talk about it. I think
the last time we talked about it, it was the day they discovered a body that they presumed to be Gabby Petito, but they didn't confirm it yet. And
yeah.
Obviously since her identity has been confirmed and manner of death has been ruled homicide, but I don't think they released cause of death as of this recording, so that's yet to be determined.
So Brian is still missing.
Quote unquote missing.
Not missing, that's not the word that I want. Like, he is...
He's in hiding.
In hiding. So I was reading an article on, like, CNN or something like that, because if he's in Florida... They're like, we don't have a lot of time to get evidence because the weather, like the humidity and stuff like that. But did you see the thing about the, well, first I should say Dog the Bounty Hunter got involved.
I saw that. Dog the Bounty Hunter irks me. I don't know why.
The only thing that I thought was remotely interesting about this was the flag that he was supposedly said to have flown over where Brian Laundrie was, or where he thought Brian Laundrie was, that said, like, Ola, Aloha Brian Dog, what? Or something like that. It turned out to be, like, somebody else did it. Somebody, like, bought this and pretended to be Dog the Bounty Hunter.
I just think, like... I understand he had his reality show and he caught, like, a bunch of, like, people who, like, skipped bail or bond or whatever. Like, I get it. But I was like, I don't know, dog. Like, the FBI is looking for him.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what you're doing that the FBI can't do with their manpower.
Just,
you know?
It's all the people that are like, yeah, dog will get him. And then I don't... Like, it's just... I don't... It's some weird, stupid American thing. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, if you're an international listener and you don't know who Dog the Bounty Hunter is, just Google him, and the first image that'll pop up that'll show, like, his portrait will tell you exactly what you need to know about this man.
But that, like, I was like, well, we don't have to dwell on that, but did you see there was maybe a pretty, like, legitimate sighting of him?
I don't know if I saw that.
So, there... was a man from Florida who was hiking the Appalachian.
Oh, I didn't hear about this.
But
I hear everyone say Appalachian.
I thought it was Appalachian, but then this girl that I follow, because she lives there, she's like, oh, it's actually Appalachian. But I don't know.
Yeah, I did hear, like, people that live in Appalachia call it Appalachia.
I'll probably still call it Appalachia.
I don't know. Whatever.
But, so a man claims that he saw Brian Laundrie driving in a white pickup truck around 12:30 a.m. on this past Saturday in Tennessee, near the North Carolina border. So he called, hold on, let me get the exact thing he talked about. So, this man was named Dennis Davis, and he was hiking with some other hikers, and they were going to leave a car at the northern terminus of the Appalachian Trail. He was going to sleep at a trailhead, but he accidentally passed a parking lot near the trail and was going to make a U-turn on Waterville Road when a vehicle approached from behind him and flashed its headlights, as if signaling to Davis that he could complete his U-turn. So he did the U-turn, he drove back in the direction of the truck, and he pulled, the man driving it stuck his hand out of the vehicle. So Davis said he went up to the truck, he rolled down his window, and he started talking with the guy, And he said, I could tell right away something wasn't right with him. He immediately thought that this man was on drugs, but he said that he looked mentally shot and didn't look dirty at all. So I guess I'm not sure why that matters. But so the driver...
Well, if he's been in hiding for this long time, he's not dirty.
That's... True, that's a good point.
They said that too when there that girl came forward that said that she gave him a ride when he was hitchhiking. Mm-hmm. She said the same thing, too, that he says that he's been camping for a couple days, and she's like, he didn't look dirty at all. Like, yeah. He looked like someone that was camping. Like camping. I don't know.
I'm sweaty, and, oh my god, if I was camping, I'd look like...
Oh my god, are you kidding me? I go outside for 2 hours, and I look like I've been camping for days.
Somebody picks you up on the side of the road. That girl, she's been camping rough. For a long time. So I guess the driver told Dennis Davis that he was lost and he was trying to get to California after he got in a fight with his girlfriend. He said, this is a quote from him, he said, me and my girlfriend had a fight and man, I love her and she called me and I need to go out to California to see her. So Davis then told the driver to take I-40 West, but the driver said no and he'd rather stay on Waterville Road by the Pigeon River. He said, no, I think this road that we're on, I'm going to take to California. What was that noise?
I don't know. Someone's, like, riding dirt bikes outside
or something. Oh, it scared me.
Sorry.
No, it's not your fault. So, I guess this man, this Dennis Davis man was, like, immediately suspicious of this dude. So, he went to, like, the next pullover spot, and he pulled out his phone, and he started looking through pictures. And he said, like, there are a couple things that really stood out to him. He had, like, full, short, thick, dark black beard and mustache. So when he parked his car, he pulled up the picture of him on the internet, and he said, like, he's 95% sure that that was him. So he called the FBI. And he looked at another picture, and he felt 100% sure that he spotted Brian Laundrie. So, I guess there was another one on 1:38 a.m. saying they had possibly seen him. So, I'm guessing he's around there. Around the, like, Tennessee, North Carolina area.
Yeah, so I think he was, like, hiding out in, like, the swamps of Florida for a while. Yeah. And then got out and is trying to make his way, I guess, north. But, like, I was like, where are you going, Canada? Like,
yeah, what is he gonna do?
Yeah, it's a pretty long truck to get up north. Like, you can't cross the border, like, I don't know.
I saw this TikTok. I'm off of Gabby Petito TikTok now, but my coworkers are not. So, one of them sent me a TikTok of this person, like, they screen grabbed this picture of, from, like, one of Gabby's Instagram stories or something. Mm-hmm. Sorry, it's seltzer. I'm going to burp. And she was reading a book about the Zodiac Killer. Okay. So this girl went into it and she was like, well, they share their books. And the Zodiac Killer sent a message to the FBI. I have a whole rant about this. And she's like, and in the first letter from the Zodiac Killer to the FBI, it said, Happy Halloween. And what was the last post that Gabby posted? It's Happy Halloween. And I'm like, and I literally said out loud, I'm like, he's not that fucking smart. Like,
no. If he was that smart, he wouldn't have been, like, assumed to have killed his fiance. There's a reason the Zodiac Killer was never found.
Exactly. Anything,
dumb as fuck.
Oh my god. I have this huge problem with, like, they're trying to make this dude out to be something, like,
he's not.
Not saying the Zodiac Killer was a good person, but he was good at what he
was
doing.
He was very fucking smart.
He was good and smart and meticulous.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not glorifying him. He's a fucking terrible murderer, but... he did what he set out to do, and he fooled everybody for a long time.
Right.
Brian Laundry is not that.
No, not at all.
He's not fooling anyone.
Well, this brings me to, like, an article that I found that kind of goes off of, like, what we talked about last week with the whole, like, should we be glorifying, like, true crime, like, yeah, true crime genre, all that. But this article was talking more, where is this from? It's from The Guardian. And it was talking, the title of the article is The Rise of Quote-Unquote Citizen Sleuths, the True Crime Buffs Trying to Solve Cases. And basically what the article talks about is that obviously with the rise in interest in true crime, you have these people that think that they are the FBI, that they're detectives, and they can pick up clues that other people can't. And it talks about, like, okay, there are people like that that have been helpful, but those people, like they talk about, like, Billy Jensen, like, he was a journalist. Like, he is able to do stuff like that. He's helped solve or, you know, help the FBI with cases. There are certain people on the internet that's been, like, the Luca Magnotta case. Like, those people helped. So, like, okay, there's that. But then you have people, like, I would venture to say, like, 85% of the people who are on making Gabby Petito TikToks. Yeah. That are just posting information that is hindering the police investigation because they're flooding, like, they're making up these theories that had come out of fucking nowhere, and the police are being bombarded. Like, did you check this out?
Yes.
Like, they're not clues, they're not tips, they're just people coming up with great stories, like, write a book, do not put this into, like, a real life case with real people who are involved, because it's making things more difficult for people who are actually investigating it. And they also talked about, like when you're a journalist or, like, you're just a citizen sleuth, you have certain capabilities that maybe the police force does not have. Like, I think they quoted Billy Jensen, because he's a journalist. He said, as a journalist, like, you know, I can go and ask whoever questions. Like, as a police officer, detective, you're talking to someone, and as soon as they say, I want a lawyer, you can't talk to them anymore. He's like, for me, I can just keep talking to them until they say, I'm going to file you for harassment, and then that's different.
Yeah.
Like, there's different rules that they have to abide to, which is the benefit of not being a police officer or a cop, but then you don't have the same access to that information either. So, like, I understand the passion, the want to help, but the citizen sleuth thing, like, they need to realize, like, I'm sorry, you're not cracking the case most of the time.
And the thing is that really bothers me is there's really not a case to crack here. Like,
no,
this is not a mystery. And we talked about this last week, but I feel like it keeps getting progressively worse the more time that passes. This guy's not smart. Like, he is the guy in, like, when you're, like, a junior in high school that wears black and like to read, like, Fight Club. Like,
yeah,
that is who Brian Laundry is. He's not smart, but he pretends to be smart. And, like, the more you hype him
arrogant
up, then you're gonna, it just makes it worse. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, like,
the only thing that I will give Brian Laundry is that he probably has, outdoorsman skills. Like, he can probably, and obviously has been surviving in the outdoors for several weeks at this point on his own. He could probably hunt, make shelter. Like, I'll give him that.
Yeah.
But in terms of, like, committing a crime successfully, no. And everything else that people are ascribing, like, oh, he was reading this book about women going missing.
Oh,
and it's like, the book was about aliens, and, like, not really. And, like, and if he was that good, the social media post that they're saying wasn't really Gabby, he would have done them better. He would have done them more convincingly.
Yeah, it's just, it's like almost, I don't want to, like, really, you know how people have the thing with, like, Ted Bundy and stuff like that? Like, I feel like it's, like, bordering on that kind of deal. Like, where we're seeing him as, like, this mythical, like, cool guy who's, like,
he's not cool.
Yeah, like, he's a piece of shit, and he's not anything special, and, like, everyone knew he killed his girlfriend or fiance or whatever. Like, it's just, at this point, it's like, please stop saying stupid shit like he's the Zodiac killer. That's the most dumb thing I've ever heard. And that's just going to so keep stupid. Him hyped up if he sees this shit.
Yeah. Like,
it pisses me off.
I'm over it. Like, whether it's the FBI or Dog the Bounty Hunter, find him. Like just let's put him. This to rest. Yeah, like, Jesus. I'm just done. Like, I hope they find him. Oh, actually, speaking of which, I was watching Dr. Phil while I was at the gym today. Yes. And Gabby Petito's family will be on him tomorrow. Mm. He gets them so quick.
You know what? He's Dr. Phil, baby. He can do no wrong.
Oh, all right. Let's move on to the next topic. Yeah. Celebrity news is... So, Britney Spears, did we talk about her dad officially was suspended as conservator?
We have not, but isn't that great?
Yeah. So, now, the conservatorship hasn't been eliminated. It's just been put on someone else, but it's a step closer to getting her completely off conservatorship. So, that's good. But they're talking, I found an article that was talking about comparing it to... Amanda Bynes, because Amanda Bynes is also under a conservatorship, and no one's talking about Amanda Bynes' conservatorship. And I think because Amanda Bynes is not Britney Spears, so I think that has a lot to do with it. And Britney Spears was working the entire time she was under a conservatorship, and Amanda Bynes was not. So, the more I see of Britney, like, online, I'm not a legal expert, and I'm a mental health professional, but I've never obviously evaluated Britney Spears.
Yeah.
I don't think that she meets the qualification to have a conservatorship, but I do think there's, like, mental health stuff going on that needs to be in check. And I feel like a lot of people are ignoring that.
Yeah, I... was, like, some of the things that she's been posting, and she still doesn't look great. Not saying that looking bad is a reason to, but do you know what I mean? Like, she doesn't look healthy.
She doesn't look well.
Yeah, something's off, and you can definitely tell that something's off, and somebody I read an article somewhere, and I forget who said it, but they were like, when she gets out of this conservatorship, you'll see that she's not...
Mm-hmm.
Not who Britney Spears used to be. Like,
I agree.
And it's pretty sad. I mean, I'm glad that she has more options now, and she's not being forced to work, but I think maybe hopefully now she can get, like, the help that she actually needs.
Yeah. I mean, I think, like, I work obviously with people with mental health stuff, like physical disabilities, like I've seen all of it, and there are people who have mental health struggles who don't have to have a conservatorship or guardianship. Like, they may have, like, a power of attorney because things they can't manage on their own, and some don't have any of it, but they just have, like, a support system. Yeah. I think that needs to be considered for Britney, and I understand the whole Free Britney movement, obviously, but I feel like a lot of people who are, like, gung-ho Free Britney are totally ignoring that she may not be totally well.
She's definitely not.
Yeah. So there was that, and then the other celebrity news, I don't know if you heard about R. Kelly.
No.
He had his trial for, you know...
Oh my god.
All her shit. but he was found guilty of all counts, and he faces life in prison.
Goodbye, bitch.
Yeah. So, I can't read the article because it's from the New York Times, and I don't have a subscription because I'm poor and I'm trying to buy a house. But that's what the headline says. But I'm sure you can find articles elsewhere that give more details.
That's still good news.
Apparently, R. Kelly was surprised that he was found guilty. I was like, dude, this has been going on for 20 years, man. Like, what do you think was going to happen?
Can you imagine being, what?
Yeah, like...
Everything I did wasn't legal.
Who did that remind me of? There was... I forget, but it reminded me of, like, so many, like, murder cases that we've seen that they were, like, genuinely shocked that they were found guilty, and it's like, dude, like, hello.
If I killed someone, I would arrest myself. I would citizen arrest myself. I couldn't live with it, let alone be shocked at being arrested in general. Or going...
Oh my god. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No, you do.
Hold on. So, I found a new thing that's not that new that we did not talk about.
Well, what is it?
Hold on, I forget his name already. I literally just learned. I knew like vaguely about this, but I just kind of learned like the story. Okay. Do you know about this Alex Murdaugh guy? Murdaugh?
I don't know.
He's a lawyer, and his wife and son were shot, and then while he was changing a tire on the side of the road, someone tried to shoot him in the head.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But it turns out that he actually hired a hitman to shoot him in the head to get his other son, the surviving son, at the $10 million life insurance policy. But it all unraveled because he didn't die. The guy didn't shoot him properly, and this Alex Murdaugh guy didn't die.
Oh my God.
It came forward that one of their former housekeepers mysteriously died by tripping and falling down the steps, and the family never received the settlement from at the Murdaugh family. So there's all of this stuff. And then the guy, he closed down shop. He's in trouble for insurance fraud. He went to rehab.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so this has been like on the news. And Karen, Molly's mom, actually sent me a text that it was on the 30th that his wife, Alex Murdaugh's wife, Maggie, who was murdered, she had met a divorce lawyer a few weeks beforehand, before she was murdered. So I'm not totally sure what is going on there.
So wait, did he also hire the hitman to kill his wife?
I don't know.
We don't know.
I don't know.
I feel like that, like, dude, just let it go. Like, I don't know why people have to make, like, divorce, relationships, like, insurance. Like, why is it so fucking complicated? Like, I don't know.
But, yeah, I don't, he owes, like, $4 million to this poor housekeeper's family.
Oh, God.
He was shot a couple days ago. Like, it's all kind of, like, unraveling right now, from what I understand about this. But he's, like, a very, like, high-up, like, high-ranking person in society. One of his sons also was involved in, like, this, like, boat accident where a girl died. Like, it's all
a very unfortunate family.
It's all very messy.
Yeah.
Very messy, but they have a lot of money.
You know, the more money you have, the more trouble it gets you into, but I should be playing the Powerball tonight and buy my ticket, so.
I don't believe in the lottery.
I mean, I don't believe in it, but someone does win it, so.
True. I still don't believe in it.
My mom's in Atlantic City this week, and I said, please win enough money to buy me a house, thank you. She's like, I've been trying so hard all year. I was like, well, try harder.
Try harder.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot. That feels like that needs to be its own episode, because it feels like there's a lot of layers involved in that.
There's a ton of information, and it's still coming out, and like, I don't even know. There's a lot happening. Something is very wrong.
Yeah. Before we go into some other little topics we have, we'll hear a word from our other sponsor.
Yay.
Little Bean Soapery. So, Little Bean Soapery is a woman-owned, handcrafted soap business specializing in skin-loving cold process soaps, seasonal and theme soaps, sugar scrubs, body butters, body oils, beard oils, and bath bombs and soaks. The products are primarily created by Brandy with the help of her mother, Lori, and with moving, setup, and building help from her boyfriend, Brian. The Little Bean herself, Brandy's daughter Rosa, can be found picking fragrances, colors, designs, and helping to stir and mold bath bombs. Little Bean Soapery is truly a small family business that prides itself on creating high quality and unique body care products. You can see what Little Bean Soapery is up to on Facebook and Instagram and order products on their social media or at littlebeansoapery.com.
Thanks, Little Bean.
Little Bean. I have, well, just a quick update. I think this, we actually talked about this on the last Yappy Hour. I talked about the case where a dad who was a QAnon follower killed his two children because, because he thought that they were, like, going to be aliens or something. Or not aliens. He thought they were going to be monsters, that his wife was, like, a monster. Oh, serpent. That's what it is. Her, oh, his wife his wife possessed serpent DNA that was passed down to the children, and they would grow into monsters. And he got this information from following into a QAnon cult.
Of course.
Anyway, so he has been charged with murder, two counts of murder. Good. And actually, from what I understand, because he killed them in Mexico, it's not... it's still developing. I don't have all the details, but he was indicted on two counts of foreign first-degree murder of U.S. nationals of Kaleo and Roxy. Those are his kids in Mexico. So the Attorney General will decide whether to seek the maximum death penalty or life in prison and fines up to $250,000. So it's still developing. I don't know if this is going to be tried in Mexico or he's going to be extradited back to the United States for this, because him and his children were United States citizens. I don't know 100%. This was talked about on another podcast briefly that I listened to, and done poorly, but they were like, are there any signs? Like, how do we know? They didn't talk about QAnon at all. But
God.
That's what I was, like, curious about was, okay, he was in the QAnon hole, but did anyone know that he was in the QAnon hole? Like, how deep was... You gotta be pretty deep into it if you think your wife has serpent DNA.
Yeah, something's definitely up.
Yeah, so, but he said, like, his name is Taylor Coleman. He was described as being as a devout Christian, also another cult.
That's a sign.
He was described as being a devout Christian who went from praising God for the birth of his daughter less than a year ago to being an apparent follower of QAnon enlightened by the Illuminati. This is from The Independent from the UK. To be honest with you, I don't think that's that big of a jump from being a devout Christian to being a QAnon follower.
No,
but
I agree.
That's my bias depending on religion. His arrest affidavit didn't go into detail on his quote-unquote enlightenment by QAnon and the Illuminati, but it just referenced the serpent DNA and the lizard people conspiracy. His wife, which I can't imagine what she's going through, she said that she never thought he would ever cause harm to their children. She never saw any signs that this was going to be anywhere in the realm of possibility that this would happen to her family. She said that they hadn't had any sort of argument, and she wasn't worried that they were in danger of being with her husband. I don't want to say that she's lying. I don't know how you don't see that. Like, did he hide it that well?
Yeah.
That he was, like, fucking nuts?
I have a hard time believing there were no signs. And I know that sounds, like, a little bit cold, but to be honest with you, like, those people are so up your fucking ass about QAnon.
That's what I was gonna say. They're not quiet about it.
I think she should be investigated as well.
Unless he was quiet about it, because he's like, I can't let my wife know that I know that she has serpent DNA.
That's the only way. Like, I don't know. That's hard for me to think. Like, I thought about that too. I was like, you gotta know something's off. Like, you gotta...
Or, like, and here's what the other thing is, that people that are, like, this deep into it. They're on, you know, Reddit, maybe not Reddit, but like they're on forums talking about this. So I feel like there's probably going to be an online trail of talking about this. And probably what's going to be the tragedy is that he talked about it and no one
reported it.
Yeah, they just, like, fucking hyped him up because they're in a fucking cult. Like, I'm waiting for the day. I don't know who makes the designation, but, like, is QAnon considered a cult yet? Like, when can they get the proper seal of a cult, like, acknowledgement?
Oh, it should be soon.
I'm waiting. I said this last time we talked about this on the Yappy Hour, but, like, I am waiting for this case. And it's not getting that much attention. I don't know why. No,
and it's weird.
Yeah, but I'm waiting for this case to, like, move forward, go through the legal system, and I want it to gain publicity so it can be, like, QAnon caused this man to kill his children. Like, there's been documentaries about QAnon, obviously, but can this be, like, hello, cult? Like, what was the thought process here? He killed two little babies because he thought they were going to be monsters because he thought his wife had lizard blood. Like, hello, like, come on.
Yeah, but there's also part of me that thinks something is not quite up to par. It's cult behavior, but, like, do you know what I mean? Like, something's got to be a little predisposed if you are going to...
I don't know, how many cults are there and, like, very smart people fall into cults?
I know, I just... I have a hard time sympathizing with people who murder children, even if they're in a cult.
Well, yes. Same.
I just, like, just something about it where I'm like, you know, some people get involved in cults and some people do not get involved in cults.
Right. This is true.
Like, there is a fine line.
But you know what is so interesting? And I could talk about QAnon for days, but I think what's so interesting about QAnon is that it's like the cult of the 21st century, yep. Right? So, like, back in the day when there were different types of cults, like, you had to go to meetings, you had to involved. And QAnon, like, it's hard to define it as a cult because I feel like it's not one set of beliefs. There's so many different levels. It's on a spectrum. And you can find what fits into your quote-unquote belief system, but it is under QAnon. So, like, you're, like, tasting the Kool-Aid, but you haven't, like, you spit it out a little bit. You haven't drank it fully. Yeah, it's up to I think that's why it's so easy to fall into QAnon because there's so many layers of it, you know? But once you start tasting it, like, what's to stop you from going full lizard people QAnon, you know?
Well, I would argue common sense.
Well, yeah.
I don't know. I get a little stuck with cults that kill children. Like, to me, or just murder in general, to me, I'm like, okay, I understand totally being indoctrinated into a cult. I've seen Midsommar, and I loved the ending of it. Okay, I get what he was trying, like, I get it.
Uh-huh.
I'm easily persuadable as well. Like, I grew up in the Catholic Church, but if some priest told me to murder someone, even at, like, 12, I feel like I would have been like, no, I don't think that's a good thing to do. Do you know what I know, like, I get it. I get there's a mentality to it, a cult mentality, and people get stuck in it. But I also think there are people who don't get stuck in it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
well, we've talked about this. Like, people who get caught in cults, like, they fit a certain, criteria, but they have, like, generalities between them. Like, need for sense of belonging. Like,
yeah.
They want to feel enlightened, like, find a greater purpose, like, all of that kind of stuff. So, I don't know. I feel like if there's any college course about QAnon, like, I will pay the money to take that course.
Oh, I would take it.
I'm so fucking fascinated by it.
It really is fascinating. It's fascinating and it's so sad.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, moving on. Because I'll talk about it for the end of time.
I know.
There's some alien news, kind of.
Ooh, is this the meteor?
thing? No, I can't read about that because I can't explain any of this.
Not actually that. It had nothing to do with aliens, so.
Okay, good, because I didn't read it. So, you know, like we've talked about before, that the government has been researching, releasing information about UFO reports, like all of that. We're like waiting for them to drop the bomb about aliens, and it's never been any good information. But recently, a government issued UFI report said that there's no evidence of aliens, but most of the unidentified flying objects that they found or reported on, they cannot explain.
Okay.
I think they're picking their words very carefully here. So let me see, where is it? Okay, so the intelligence report offered very few answers. The government said that it cannot explain 143 of the 144 cases reported by military planes.
Oh, I don't That's like that. That's a lot.
That's like 99.9% they cannot explain. Man. And these weren't reports of us normies saying we saw something in the sky. This is military planes saying that they found stuff.
Oh, I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah. So they interviewed Denise Stoner, who is from the Florida branch of the Mutual UFO Network, MUFON. And she says that she's skeptical of the government report. And she says, quote, I think that what they put out is what they feel like the public can accept comfortably.
Oh, yeah, I think that's a fair assumption to make.
And I get it. You don't want to cause mass hysteria. But listen here, okay? Those of us in the know, what's happening. We're ready. We know. The ones who are deniers, the devout Catholics who don't believe that there's any life outside of the descendants of Adam and Eve, they're not going to believe you regardless. They don't believe in COVID. They don't believe in science.
Until an alien knocks on their door.
Even then.
Yeah.
Even then, I don't even know. So just release it, because those of us who are willing to understand and accept will do so respectfully, I think. The other ones are just not going to believe you. This is 2021. You can't convince anyone unless they're already predisposed to it at this point. I'm just annoyed.
No, I agree. I agree.
So there was that alien report, and then have you heard about Demi Lovato's, like, interest in aliens?
Anna, I fucking hate Demi Lovato.
I believe they identify they, them pronouns. They,
them. Which okay. I respect, and that's not why I don't hate anyone because of their pronouns. I hate her because she's super annoying and rude. I hate them because they're super annoying and rude.
I've never really cared for Demi Lovato. I was just never a fan. Yeah. I'm not saying that they're not super talented. I've never cared.
Astounding.
Right. But, so, from what I understand, she was hanging out with Steve Greer, and you know how Steve Greer had his own, like, download my app, I can help you talk to aliens?
Yes.
That whole thing. So, she did all of that, and she went on, like, I'm gonna, like, get murdered here.
Yeah.
They went on a retreat with Steve Greer, I believe, and that was in the documentary Unacknowledged, where Steve Greer did all of that, and Demi Lovato probably paid a pretty penny to go do that.
I'm sure.
So they claim that they had an experience when they were out with Steve Greer. But, okay, so there's that. So, but Demi Lovato has a miniseries coming out on Peacock. Ugh. Have you heard?
I saw, like, something about it briefly, but tell me.
Okay, so the Steve Greer documentary was Unacknowledged, yeah. Right? That was Steve Greer, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so
Thought you were like, yeah, that it was Steve Greer.
Okay,
I thought you were being like, right, and then, and I'm
like, So Demi's miniseries is called Unidentified. Okay, so I think this was on their Twitter. They posted a clip from the miniseries, And Demi is there with, I believe, a friend who is on the alien train, and then two other friends who are skeptics. Mm-hmm. And they have, like, a device that, I don't know what it is, it's just, like, a really short clip, but a device that is supposed to detect extraterrestrial activity. Mm-hmm. Maybe she borrowed it from Stephen Greer, I don't know. But Demi started singing into the void her song Skyscraper. Oh. And they said, I feel like singing something emotional. So they started singing from their song.
Yeah.
And the device lit up and they were like, oh.
Oh my
but
God.
It's like a, you know what it is? It's like Ghost Hunters, but for aliens. Yeah. That's what it kind of looked like.
Yeah. Demi Lovato's a lot for me. Ever since the sugar-free incident. Were you following that?
Oh, yeah, the Froyo stuff?
The Froyo. Then I was like, I like Demi Lovato's, Demi Lovato's voice is really good. Like, the stuff that they sing and perform, I like it. I think they're talented. But, like, some of the stuff that they say, I'm just like,
they don't think.
What the fuck? Like, just have some kind of filter a little bit when you're tearing down, like, a business or, you know, whatever. Like, come on.
Well, the thing about Demi Lovato and, I'm trying to say this in, like, the politest way possible, is, especially coming from the mental health field, is people sometimes who have certain mental health diagnoses and backgrounds like to make the world about their mental health diagnoses. And I've never evaluated Demi Lovato, so I don't know, obviously, but, and I don't know if this was ever something that they reported on or given out, but I would venture to say that Demi may meet criteria for borderline personality disorder.
I think that they're actually diagnosed with that.
Are they diagnosed?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Okay, well, if they are, it's pretty evident from my working with people with borderline personality disorder. Which is fine, like, that's a mental health diagnosis, like, that's how they present. But if you know anything about people with borderline personality disorder or have worked with people with borderline personality, it's a very hard diagnosis to treat.
Yeah.
And it becomes very obvious when someone is in the throngs of borderline personality disorder.
Yeah.
But that's neither here nor there. What I'm saying is that Demi Lovato...
I'm sorry. I feel very strongly about Demi Lovato for some reason. The Froyo thing had me all set off.
I have way too many streaming services. Like, I think I have Peacock. I don't know. I think it comes with my internet, but, like, I'm not... Maybe I'll try to find it on there. But it's called Unidentified with Demi Lovato. Oh, and their tweet about it with the clip, they said, what's better than a standing ovation from ETs? I'll wait with an alien emoji.
Oh, my God.
And someone commented... the tweets replies, they said they can sing, but I just feel cringe.
Yeah.
And someone else said they're pretty, but the cringe, OMG.
That's exactly how I feel. Like, they're great and they're pretty and they are talented, but there's just something about them.
You got a fun one? What do you have?
I got a fun one, but it's a little scary. Like, it's fun, but, like, I don't mean it, like, disrespectfully if anybody's listening.
Oh, God.
So it's kind of like I just was looking up, like, weird news. Every once in a while, I just look up, like, weird things happening in the news. So I found this article, and it's definitely, like, some tabloid-level shit. But so there's this priest, Stephen Rossetti, and he believes, that demons now have figured out how to text message.
Stop.
Yes.
I don't doubt it for a second.
Okay. So, I found this article. It's from the Daily Record, so there's not much substance to it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just something fun for the Catholics. So, So
Catholics.
Stephen Rossetti, he's actually a licensed psychologist and a counselor.
Okay.
And he is also a priest as well. I don't know if he's actually, he must be a Catholic priest. So he has done a lot of exorcisms. I believe he lives in the Washington, D.C. area. So Mr. Rossetti said that they have had 3 cases so far in which demons have texted the team and or the family of the possessed person.
Oh my god. Wait, from what number?
I haven't found that information yet. So, so 2 of these cases were the most difficult. This is a quote from him. 2 of these cases were the most difficult cases we've had so far, and the third involved a pious family with priestly and religious vocations amongst the children. Oh my god, my phone lit up. I was like, don't even.
Stop it.
So, So this priest, he performs up to 20 exorcisms a week in Washington, D.C.
Oh my god. Like, yeah. Currently?
Yes. Like, this just came out. This came out on September 2nd. So not just,
I don't know that there's a need for 20 exorcisms per week anywhere, How much is he charging for these exorcisms?
Oh, probably a lot. So, he claimed that in these 3 cases that they were high-value targets with high-ranking, powerful demons involved. Which suggested that it takes a lot... He suggested that it takes a lot of energy to cross over and manipulate items in the physical world, such as a cell phone. So, he said what a couple of the text messages said. One of them said, "Her torments start now, priest... ... all night. We will make her bleed." And then another one said, "We're glad she's away from you now."
Oh my god.
So he said that demonic interference in technology is nothing new, which we know, we've talked about that before on here. It's very well documented, like, you know, your lights flicker, your TV turns on and off, all that stuff.
You itchin?
So So he said that now demons have the ability to text message. There's no information about where the phone number is coming from, who this is, but he is a well-known name in the United States. He's been on TV shows such as Meet the Press and Larry King Live. He said that he's worked with people who have had claw marks on their back, woke up with, damage, like injuries and stuff like that. And he says now demons are able to move forward, the higher ranking ones, and send text messages.
Okay, so one, I would like the numbers traced to see where the numbers are coming from. Is it like a text app? You know, get catfish on it. One. But two, I don't doubt it. Like, I'm like, yeah, that sounds reasonable, because when back in the day when we did the Ouija board episode, like, that's, you need to have strong, usually demonic spirits to navigate a Ouija board, and they got just adapted to the times and now have cell phones. So
yeah.
I wouldn't doubt for a second that they are communicating through other devices. Texting takes a lot less time than a Ouija board.
True. That's actually, like, when I read it, I'm like, come on. Like, but now that you put it that way, now
I would venture to say texting is less energy than a Ouija board. So they probably prefer texting over the use of a Ouija board to communicate their message.
I'm sorry, but how do they get reception there?
Well, I don't know if they get reception on whatever plane they're on, but I'm wondering if they get reception from an earthly cell phone and they take the energy from the cell phone and use that to have their message move forward. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, kind of. But it sounds good to me.
I don't think it's out of the realm of possibilities.
The guy
for someone who believes in it.
The guy seems legit.
I'd like to see it firsthand. And I want the numbers traced. But I'm not doubting it. I'm just saying. I want
a little more information. There's not a whole lot, but I thought it was...
Get Zach Bagans on it. I've never seen that in an episode of Ghost Hunters.
Let's get Zach Bagans and Neve Shulman together.
Crossover. Oh. Wait. We'll have to tweet at them and tag the priest.
Guys, we have a great idea.
We would like 10%, thank you. Okay, this is my last little fun one.
Okay.
So the farmhouse from the original Conjuring film that inspired the original Conjuring film is on the market for $1.2 million.
Anna, you're looking for a house.
I am looking for a house. I'm not looking to move to Rhode Island or to buy a farmhouse for $1.2 million, but it's also already contingent, so someone is in the process of buying it.
It's Zach. I bet.
Oh my god, you think it's Zach?
I hope so. I truly hope so.
You know what? I don't know. If it was Zach, I feel like he would just slap $1.2 million on the table. True. I think he has to go through a mortgage approval.
True.
I think he qualifies.
Yeah, I think he'll be able to handle it.
So, here's a little description. It says, every so often an opportunity presents itself to possess an extraordinary piece of cultural history. The true story of The Conjuring started in this very house in Harrisville, Rhode Island. The critically acclaimed original movie was based on accounts taken from inhabitants of this 14-room farmhouse, rumored to be haunted by the presence of Bathsheba Sherman, who in the 1800s lived in the house. 1677 Round Top Road is one of the most well-known haunted houses in the United States. The chilling stories from this house have inspired dozens of books and movies. Many qualified paranormal researchers have been invited to the home, most famously Ed and Lorraine Warren, who founded the oldest ghost hunting team in New England, and in the 1970s were hired to rid the home of its evil. The Warrens confirmed that the events depicted in the Conjuring movies, the third just recently released, actually transpired. The current caretakers have reported countless happenings in the house and have turned overnight guest bookings and group events on the property into a steady, successful business. The pictures that they posted, like, it's $1.2 million because of, you know, the association of it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very outdated. It's, like, old school. But, Marissa, they put Raggedy Ann dolls in the photo.
No.
And they like I think a Raggedy Ann and a Raggedy Andy, and they have them sitting in chairs. They have one in like a glass like cabinet. They have a photo I don't know who it is, but there's two people in the photo and they are pictured in front of the actual Annabelle in the Warren Museum. So, like, they're, like, all about it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's, I mean, it's very, it feels like it's, like, the original house. Like, it's a lot of old woodwork. I like old buildings, but this is a little too much for
me. It's a little too old.
Very private, and I think I remember when we talked about the Warrens, the people who were living at that home said that they always would have, like, trespassers and people, like, staked outside their house, like, trying to get a glimpse, which, if you're running a business, is fine, but if you're just trying to live here, then
that's probably not the best. That's very unfortunate.
Yeah, but, and to be honest, it's only been on the market for 11 days. I feel like when I looked at this yesterday, it was not contingent, so I feel like this it's gonna go just, fast. Yeah, so, yeah, just putting that out there, so you know.
So what if someone buys it? One of our listeners.
Well, if we have a listener out there that wants to buy that has the money for a Rhode Island property for $1.2 million, your girl is also trying to find a house. So
yeah, help us out.
Like it says, my mortgage on this house would be like $5,000 a month.
Oh my
god!
I
can't afford that.
Jesus.
It also says, like, I need, Let's see. Between closing costs and a down payment, I need like $260,000.
What the fuck? $280,000.
But yeah, not for me. I'll keep looking for my house in Pennsylvania that I can barely afford. All right. Well, that concludes our yappy hour, I believe.
Our yappy hour. We had an extra yappy yappy hour.
Yappy yappy hour.
A yappy yappy hour.
Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Email us up at whatdowenowpod@gmail.com. And we will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye. What do we know? What do we know? What do we know?